So welcome back to our next episode. Now, the previous round was pretty fun with you guys because we were into this brand new series called Cracking Down the Code series. And I want to share with you some of the key stats behind the thought process that I usually adopt to analyze projects, condos, and of course, later on, I'll deep dive into landed properties of how I analyze different types of landed properties for our customers and clients over the years. So of course, if you have not seen the episode, head on back to the episode called The First 5 Steps to Analyze a Condo in long title, Cracking Down the Code. Now, I'm going to do 10 episodes here. Of course, if you like this particular series to look at how we think of particular project nuances as well as some of the key research tools that we adopt so that you can do it at the comfort of your home. And of course, if you want to analyze this on your own accord on the road, there's a lot of simple tools that you can actually utilize. There's no need for very complicated stuff. So if you like this episode, of course, do support us by liking and subscribing to our channel. Like this episode, leave a comment down below so that we know what kind of content you like and I can do my best to value add you more. So as mentioned in the first episode, all in, basically with very simple tools, you'll be able to analyze a condo together with me. So I'm going to adopt using square foot research. Of course, this is on the subscription model. It's being powered by HProp. And a disclaimer, again, this is not a sponsored episode with HProp. Basically, I just want to showcase you what kind of tools that I'm using behind the scenes. I also use this public website called streetdirectory.com. Very useful. Recently, they upgraded their maps. We can actually zoom in a little bit more to see in detail. So for today's episode, I want to continue talking about Covert Melody, but I want to bring everybody's attention to this few key things here. So I'm going to analyze and break down into these 5 key areas here. And this is episode number 2. So firstly, I'm going to talk about freehold properties behavior within an enclave where there are also 99 years properties. And we're also going to talk about some behaviors of the disparity effect and why is that important for you to know about in the event, let's say you are hunting for a condominium to invest or to buy as your primary residence. So we're also going to talk about what is going to happen in an area where there's new and old condominiums. How will their behaviors relate to one another? Does the newer project that is going to be launched create a spike in terms of asking prices of the existing older projects? And how do we look at Quantum versus PSF in an enclave? I'm going to come back to the Covent region. And the reason why I want to choose the Covent region is because it is very easy for everybody to understand because this enclave is pretty special. Now, why is this special? Firstly, it has an MRT station right here. And right opposite, there is a cluster of HDB properties that are doing seemingly well, even though they might be about 30 over years old, but the executive maisonettes, the big units there, they're all doing pretty well because it's walking distance to the MRT. There's also going to be a new BTO coming out called HDB Coven Wellspring. But what is interesting is that the high-rise condominiums are all 99 years. So for example, you have Covent Melody, which was the first one, followed by Covent Residences, the second one, and then you have Covent Regency, the third one, and then you have Stars of Covent. Now, these 4 condos right here, they are all within very, very close proximity to Covent MRT station, and we deem it as walking distance. Of course, over the years, you will see this entire road along Tampines Road, and you have the Tembusu, you have Trilift. These are all freehold properties, and they are about 1 bus stop away. But if you are talking about just walking distance, it will be these 4 primary condos, and they're all high rise. Now, Covent, why do we want to select it for today's comparison? Is because sometimes if you want to invest or buy a condominium, a lot of buyers, they will be in a dilemma situation because maybe you want to buy Covent area, you want it to be near the MRT station, you want to be near the Heartland Mall, but you realize that why is it that the 99th properties seem to be performing in terms of a higher PSF and higher quantum pricing compared to some of its freehold counterparts also within walking distance to Covent MRT? This example is prevalent in many, many parts of Singapore. In many areas, there might be an MRT station, or whether there's no MRT station, but there might be a combination of freehold properties as well as 99th properties. And sometimes you realize that why is it that the 99th are asking at a much higher price and transacted at a much higher price than freehold properties? So that is the main topic today. And this enclave is also interesting in the sense that it is dominated also by the entire backing of the landed properties right here. And within this landed enclave, because of the plot ratio, naturally the freehold properties around the MRT station or within the landed enclave, they tend to be low rise. Because landed enclave, they have a height ratio of either 2.5 story or 3.5 story. If it's a mixed landed zoning, what do we mean by mixed landed zoning? Let me just give you an example. So let's say if I were to go to H-Prop and then I will bring on a master plan just to show you a little bit what do we mean by that, so that at least for those of you who are buying properties for the first time, you will then have a good understanding of what we are talking about in terms of height restriction control. So I'll click on the latest master plan and let me just type Cover MRT. So if I were to type Cover MRT station, that will bring me to this. Now, if you notice, based on this plan, we can clearly see that in terms of the plot ratio for Cover Melody, which is this huge chunk of land here, is at 3.5. And then you have Cover Residences at 3.5 plot ratio. You have Cover Regency slightly lower. And then you have this pink color plot here, which is Stars of Coven, and that is a mixed residential project, because Stars of Coven on level one, there are shop lots available that has been sold, and of course the owners that bought it, they rented it out, there are strata units, and of course on top of that, there's residential condos right up there. So that's Stars of Coven. So these four projects, you can see their higher plot ratio, that's where they can build up to like maybe 18 levels depending of course on the additional height limit control, because if you're near to the airport, you're near to Paya Lebar Air Base, you also have certain height restrictions as well. But by and large, you will notice that this entire landed enclave here is at 1.4. So 1.4 means that if it's a mixed landed enclave, and how do we see that? Just click on this button and we want to see whether is it like a mixed landed enclave. So let me give you an example. The moment you see this kind of word mixed landed, it means that it can have a combination of inter-terrace, corner-terrace, semi-D, detached homes, as well as boutique development. And what do we mean by boutique development? It means that the project probably has less than 50 units. Sometimes if it's on a bigger land, it can have maybe about 100 units. A good example will be this project called Bliss at Coven here. So Bliss at Coven, this guy here, is a freehold project, but have a look at how high it is. To check how high it is, without going down, you can of course use certain tools like Google Earth. Okay, so let me give you an example. You can use Google Earth, but I'll come back to that later. But just a very simple illustration, if you have this tool, which is square foot here, you just type Bliss at Coven. Just click on this address here. So you can see that the highest level is level 5. So instantaneously, you know that this is a project that is within the master plan, plot ratio of 1.4. Highest level is 5 because it's within the landed enclave. You cannot go too high. You must observe this height level of 5. And of course, the penthouse level can be on level 5 and level 6 being the roof terrace zoning. Now, of course, you can also go to Google Earth, which is very easy to look at. And of course, then you just click Bliss at Coven, Singapore. And then that will bring you to the condominium project. There's a couple of photos here. You can also Google it. I mean, there's a lot of ways to look for information nowadays. But of course, just by looking at this, you roughly can already see that this is like a low height kind of project compared to the higher rise Coven Regency, Coven Residences, as well as Coven Melody. Now, let's come back to today's topic. Now that we all understand the context of height ratio, what do we mean by smaller projects in landed enclaves? And why are there some high rise projects? And let's look at the trending also. In terms of the land parcel, you realize that most of the time, near to MRT land are usually government land sales land. And of course, these lands here, they are all government land sales. They are all open for tender. Developers will bid them, and then developers will bid the 99's land to be redeveloped into a condominium project for sale to the public. And most of the time, near to MRT stations will have higher rise kind of projects compared to those that are tucked within the landed enclave. But sometimes you also see projects like this along the road line that are also within the landed enclave. So for example, you have Grand Regalia, you have maybe this project called Coven Esquire. And just for today's context, to look at the behavior of freehold versus 99 years in the same enclave at Coven, let's have a look at the behavior of these two properties. So I already on Coven Melody. I sorted it out to all data. And last week, I explained the differences between tenure and completion date, and also why transactions are very important for popularity and the behavior of the existing owners within the project, how they think, as well as the price trend going upwards. Will it continue to go up or will it plateau? Or should you buy a project that is on the downtrend, hoping for it to U-turn? So we talk about that in episode number one of Cracking the Code. Now, I shall not repeat that, but for today's context, let's have a look at this. And I'm going to bring you back to the last 10 years. Maybe let's go back to maybe year 2011, 2012. Okay, let's have a look at this. If we were to look at the year 2011 and 2012, which is about 12 years back, and I'm going to also open the behavior of transactions of Covent Esquire. And Covent Esquire looks like this, all right? So Covent Esquire is a small development. Just as a quick disclaimer and understanding for everybody is that I've been doing real estate for 16 years. I've sold all kinds of properties. I've sold properties that are in a boutique project, in a large project. I've sold commercial properties. I've sold landed homes. I've sold all kinds of homes. I've sold like thousands of transactions. And in my experience, of course, in my journey, at certain points in my season of being in the real estate industry, of course, now I'm a business owner and my team runs the sales. And of course, they meet our clients and customers on a day-to-day basis. I'm doing the CEO strategy and of course, a lot of media work here. Of course, I love analyzing content. But through my entire 16 years of journey, there were seasons that I had new understanding of different projects and properties as I start to analyze them deeper. Now, my personal belief is that all properties can be sold. Because the very reason is like this. If a property is being created at launch by the developer and is successfully sold to a first buyer, there's no reason why this first buyer cannot successfully sell it to a second buyer. So my personal belief is that all properties can be sold, even if it's a property in the expressway facing a very busy road, as long as the calibration of inherent factors plus changeable factors are done in a fashion that it balances out in the eyes of the buyers, it can be done. So for example, let me give you an example. If this is a boutique project, facing the road, very noisy, near to a substation, but if the price is right and the buyer thinks that the road facing doesn't really concern the buyer because maybe the buyer is buying to rent out, or maybe the buyer loves to shut the windows all days round, or maybe the buyer has only a sizable budget that this property suits their preferences at this season, then the property, as long as it finds this right buyer, it can be sold. Now, properties that are very quiet, extremely high floor, superb facing, fantastic interior renovation, and just to backtrack a little bit, inherent factors are things you cannot change. For example, the expressway facing, whether is it facing a substation, is the unit number correct, whether is it high, low floor. These are inherent factors that you cannot change about the properties. What are factors that you can change? Basically, the interior of the property, because you can renovate, you can change the layout, you can change the design. So these two factors, inherent versus changeable factors, there's still one more punch point here is the pricing mechanism. So when this triangle of inherent factors, changeable factors, and price metrics match in a cohesive fashion, you will find its right buyer. So back to the example, some properties that are beautiful, high floor, unblocked, sea facing, and beautifully renovated. So it has good inherent factors, good interior factors. But naturally, the price will be very, very, very high because the seller knows that they have a price possession. They want to sell at a very high price. So naturally, the audience that is buying this will also be of a certain category. And buyers that don't have this budget, they will not be able to afford these kind of properties. And thus, they might fall back to properties along this entire spectrum here, all the way from this calibration of inherent factors, price mechanism, and changeable factors to find a right balance. So sometimes, maybe a price possession property over at this enclave might be asking for $2 million. But maybe this property that's on the low floor, facing the road, but the size is reasonable, is only at maybe about $1.3 million. And thus, this will naturally attract a different group of audience compared to that. And which is why my personal belief is that as long as these three factors balances itself out, you will find a buyer. Now, let's come back to this. So when I own Covent Esquire, the first thing to look at is there are only 23 units. And we realize that it's a freehold property. So it was completed in 1998. And because of the fact that it's 23 properties, is well, this is what we call a boutique project. Usually in my personal context, anything that is below 100 units, I will personally categorize them as a Baltic development. The categorization of large size developments will be at least 300 units upwards. Mid-size projects, as long as it's high rise between 1 to 300 units, I'll still consider them fairly mid-size to large size. But my own terminology is that 300 and above, they're considered large size projects with higher density and volume. Now, look, this project is performing well. So if you're the first owner that bought it in 1998, you have made a sizable appreciation on your property while you're living there or renting it out. And let's go back to 3 years ago. And of course, what we can see is that majority of the units are between 1,000 to 1,001 square feet, which are the three bedders. And there are only 23 units. So we're going to look at some mechanism. Stay tuned until the end of this episode, because by the end, you will then understand together with me this thing that I was talking about, which is a behavior of 99 years as well as freehold properties. If we were to go back to about 12 years back and in the year 2011, there were two transactions here. Let's imagine 2011, you are a young couple that is contemplating to buy a property near the Kovan MRT station, because maybe both your parents are living in the Kovan region, D19, and you want to stay near your parents. You just got married, you know, buy a matrimonial home, but then you are contemplating in a dilemma. And why are you in a dilemma? Is because you are thinking to yourself, hey, Kovan Melody was completed in 2006. And right now in the year 2011, is only 5 years old. It's quite new. And 99 years, high-rise project, has a nice swimming pool, there's a tennis court, and of course, is a nice development with full condo facilities, basement parking. The moment I come out, is the MRT station. And it's 99 years. And let's go back to Kovan Melody in the year 2011. As we were looking at Kovan Melody prices in the year 2011, the three bedders, which is the 1216 square feet, and of course the 1302 square feet version, they are in the range of about 1.2 over million. So let me just highlight these two and take these two for example for Kovan Melody. And if you look at Kovan Esquire, you can actually buy a three bedder for $1.008 million. So for this example, let's just imagine you are deciding whether to buy this particular unit. So just imagine you were contemplating to buy this unit and this unit was not transacted yet. And you saw this unit in the market, it's listed on Property Guru and it's asking for 1.008, 928 PSF, and the size is decent, 1087, three bedder. And most importantly, it's freehold. And of course, it's just located right here, Kovan Esquire. You can just say a short walk on along Kovan Road and then come out. You'll walk past Kovan Melody. You can be at the MRT station already. You can also go opposite to Heartland Mall to shop and things like that. And however, maybe you will say that, hey, you tell your maybe your hubby and say that, hey, darling, you know, I think we should buy Kovan Melody, you know, because it has a lot of facilities and it's 1.26 million. It's 1,000 PSF. 1,216 square feet. I think it's a decent size. And maybe your hubby will say that, hey, darling, I think we should buy Kovan Esquire because it is 1.008. Overall quantum is lower. PSF is also lower at 928. Size is okay. I mean, it's 1,000 square feet, but I think the older projects also have a feeling that the size is quite reasonable. So why don't we just buy this? So let's just take this 2011 dilemma and project it to today. Now, if you had bought Kovan Melody back then, whatever your decision was, this is what is going to happen today. And let's say you were just staying in your property, you sort of have children, you enjoy the property, and then you are not selling. But this year, 2023, you suddenly have a trigger event because maybe you just attended our PRB Landed Convention and you saw so many fabulous landed properties. And maybe just a quick shout out to all our landed participants that came and bought a ticket and came, especially whether you have bought early bird tickets, you have bought the later bird tickets, or you have walked in with us. We're so happy because we had 400 over participants that came for the convention. It was a full day, 11 to 6. And I did a segment in the afternoon on the landed trend for the next 6 to 12 months, as well as I've also done a panelist moderation interview with our builders. We have a moderation for architects and developers, and also our landed seller and landed buyer also shared their testimony and their journey with our audience. And it was so fantastic. We had red wine. We have basically gourmet food walking around. We have Steinway that partnered with us. HPro was our media partner. And our entire media team was activated. Our own intern team had about 80 over of us there for the whole event. Our PRB lender consultants were also there. And of course, most importantly, our developer partners like Frax Capital, Bukit Sembawang, Sevens Group. And of course, we have Asia Development, Wakiao as well. And of course, a lot of our different partners from Rest and Relax, Trace Design. We have ZLC, Simmons. We have Bosch. We also have KeyQuest Mortgage Plus, Golden Law, and also Sapphire Window. So thank you so much for supporting us on this event. And we look forward to seeing you on the next coming Property Summit happening in August 2023. But I'm going to share more details in another episode. Coming back to this. So for example, maybe you're sitting at Landed Convention and then you are thinking, hey, should we buy a landed home? And when you start to look at your pricing in the year 2023, this is what is happening. So you then start to look at Covent Melody and you then realize that, oh, pretty good. I mean, my property for the last 12 months, 1216, or whether is it 1292 or 1213 or 1313 or 1259, they're all the three betas. They're all currently doing between $1.7 to $1.8 million. Low floor is already doing at 1.75. The high floor has just transacted in April 2023 at $1.81 million. And of course, as a seller, you will need to do more homework. So you go to Property Guru, and then you start to see what are the other owners currently that have not sold, but what price are they asking for? And you realize that there are five listings there, and there's a three bidder asking for 1.8. There's no more three bidder. There's only one three bidder for sale. The rest are two bidders, and of course, a four bidder asking for 2.388. And then that forms your pricing index already. And of course, the third step that you need to do is to call your mortgage broker or your banker and ask for the desktop valuation, because valuation is extremely important. If you need to ask for it, because the buyer that's coming to buy your place will also ask for valuation, because without the valuation, they wouldn't know whether the price is asking above or below valuation. Why is the valuation is important is because all buyers that needs to take a loan, and most people take a loan for their mortgage, they will have to take a 75% loan pegged against the valuation. Anything that is above the valuation, they have to top up in cash. And thus, knowing the valuation is extremely important for the home buyer. So as a seller, you need to do that level of homework together with your realtor, or let your realtor handle everything. Now, you bought the place at about 1.26 in 2011. 2023 is now 1.81, assuming that you bought a high floor unit. Or maybe you bought a third floor unit. Now it's worth about 1.75. So 1.26, 1.7 plus is close to about a 500K appreciation over the last 11 to 12 years. Now you look at Covent Esquire. What has happened now is that you saw that the last transaction was in 2020. There were no transactions for the last 3 years. Latest transaction by one of your neighbor was at $1.19 million. And then you start to question yourself. So for example, so assuming you have bought Covent Esquire back then and not Covent Melody, you have asked yourself, hey, I bought Covent Esquire, it's a freehold property. I bought it at 1.008. After 12 years, it's only 1.19. There's only 100K appreciation over 12 years. Why is it that Covent Melody, being a 99ers and is aging throughout the last 12 years, is now older, but it appreciated by $500,000 compared to $500,000 to $100,000. Why is the appreciation such a stark difference? And in terms of PSF, there is only an increment of about $170 PSF. But why is it that Covent Melody, it has increased from the year 2011 from about $900 per square foot to about $1,300 plus per square foot. Why was there an increment of close to $400 to $500 PSF? And $100 plus PSF, $400 plus PSF, 100K increment, 500K increment. Why was there a stark difference? Now, that will relate back to first episode in terms of volume plus popularity. So with this context, I'm going to replay a clip, and this is 7 minutes worth of footage. Once you understand that, you will then understand in terms of the volume of transactions of why that could be one of the reasons why COVID-19 has appreciated by $500,000 in terms of quantum for that 3-beta that we are talking about as compared to COVID Esquire. Let's have a look at the clip.
The key function is that when I relate back to this particular quadrant here, this particular box right here, and we'll talk about this portion, where sellers are willing to sell. Now, the rationale is because if nobody wants to sell, even if a lot of people want to buy, there are also no transactions. And that will lead us to this quiz on which is more important. Okay? Now, later on, understanding this will help us to understand where to buy, what to buy, with $4 to $6 to $8 million range. Now, quiz number one, we want to share with everybody. What do you think is more important for a real estate market? So, take part with us, key in your answers in the chat box. There's no right or wrong. And of course, this is to share our point of view from a research perspective. Do you think sellers are important or buyers are more important? Which is more important for a real estate market, sellers or buyers? Now, maybe we take the next 10 seconds, just key in. Now, do you think like, you know, for this particular district or this particular enclave to see upward appreciation in pricing, are buyers more important or sellers more important? And maybe to further elaborate this question is that if I want to understand, can I buy into this particular district or this particular place or this particular condo project? If I know that there's a lot of buyers always aiming for this project, will that help to influence my decision that this is a good project? Or on the other flip side, if I get intel that this condo, there's a lot of sellers want to sell, but there are lesser buyers, does this influence me to want to buy this project even further? So which one do you think is more important for the objective of capital appreciation of a particular project, condo, or landed enclave? Sellers or buyers will drive the price more? Now, key in your answer. Share with us your perspective. No right or wrong. All these are just our own opinions, but of course later I'll share a little bit about some economic perspectives on how to look at this, especially in Singapore. All right, so I hope that you have keen your answer, and let me elaborate and share our opinion. So firstly, to know whether are sellers or buyers more influential in terms of capital appreciation or valuation appreciation of a particular project, we need to understand firstly, why do sellers want to sell in the first place? Now, if you own a particular property, you're very happy staying there, all right? And you tell your wife or you tell your husband, hey, darling, I don't want to sell this place. I love this property. You know, we bought this property for $4 million. We're very happy staying here. Our kids are studying. You know, we're enjoying the space. We don't want to sell. Now, tomorrow, somebody knocks on your door, knocks on your landed property. Mr. Lim, I want to buy your property. So a direct buyer comes by, right, and says, hey, Mr. Lim, I want to buy a property for $4 million. Can you sell me? Of course, you'll say no, because you already bought this at $4 million as buyer stamp duty and all this kind of stuff. And you're so happy here. Why should you sell? The next day, another buyer comes. Mr. Lim, I want to buy this property. I love your property. Are you okay to sell me at $5 million? And you say, wow, $1 million appreciation is just 3 years. No lah, too little already. I don't want to sell. No. Sorry, I'm very happy staying here. 1 month later, somebody knocked on your door again and said, can I offer you $8 million for your place? Ah, that's something different. You earn $4 million in 3 years. That's something different. What if somebody comes and knocks on your door and say, can I offer you $10 million for your landed home? That is a different story already. Now, what am I trying to say? And this guy keep laughing. I just don't understand why. Okay. Why do sellers want to sell in the first place? The core rationale is because there is a margin that they have seen. There's an appreciation. The motivation comes from the availability and buying power of demand. Now, sellers are motivated when there's appreciation. Now imagine you live in a landed home for 20 years, you buy a $4 million, 20 years later it's still $4 million, you have no motivation to sell. Because there's no point for you to sell. And of course, if you look at some countries and overseas properties, you might be holding to some overseas property for a good 10 over years already, and the price remains the same. You have zero motivation to sell. The only reason you want to sell is just to get out of that country, that's all. But what I'm trying to say is that sellers are motivated to sell when there's appreciation in the value of their property that they're holding, and sellers are not motivated when there's no appreciation in their properties. So, when there is a high level of demand, it causes price to appreciate. Because when price appreciates in terms of the causation of demand from the buyers, sellers are more motivated to sell and thus transaction happens, right? So coming back to just now that question, sellers or buyers are more influential in price upward. Now, the answer to this is summated in this quote from myself, is that you can build as many houses and condos as you want in a country. You can have all the people trying to sell their properties, but when there's no buyers and there's no demand, the market is dead. Because in real estate, demand is the more important factor to drive price appreciation, price growth, and capital appreciation. That is why population growth is important to a country. Controlling supply is important because without demand, price will not grow. And thus, population growth comes from a good governance of the country, good economic stability to draw investors in, to draw immigrants in, to draw foreign investors in. And thus, this is, of course, something that you find that, it seems like we're in Singapore, all these things are actually forming all the missing portion. And that's why our price growth is very stable. So the quick answer is, buyers are the more important factor. Now, of course, talking about demand, the reason why buyers buy is because buyers are attracted to certain factors. Now, what are all these factors? These factors are what we call the moat around a property. Now, moat meaning that the more moat factors a property have, the higher the demand. And with that, of course, we have sort of formulated our own in-house proprietary system. This is called PRB Condomo Analysis. We fresh feed all the API of all the condominiums projects in Singapore. We final score them based on our 10 scoring factors in our moat. And that is how we compare projects for our clients, for our customers, for our home buyers and sellers on a daily basis through our consult session.
So looking back at this, then it would then help us to ascertain, okay, from a point of view, looking at just valuation appreciation, what does this tell us? So remember the first episode, we talked about this factor called the herd mentality, as well as that when you're buying a condominium project, you're buying into a community. These two things has an impact in terms of the behavior of existing home owners that were owning these projects. Okay, the reason is because like this. A property, in order for it to appreciate in terms of transaction pricing, there must be properties that are transacted. In order for properties to be transacted, you must have volume. If nobody wants to sell and there's no volume, or nobody wants to buy and there's no volume, for example, like Covet Square, last year has no volume. Perhaps it is because there are nobody that wants to sell. So let's have a look. Covet Square, see if anybody wants to sell. Right now, no listings, all right? You cannot find any listings. Maybe it could also be the fact that the sellers that are very comfortable, is a freehold property. They just love the location. They just find that there's no need to sell. And they just love to continue to stay there. If they are not staying there, they could also just rent it out. Maybe they have other properties because in the past there were no ABSD and stuff. If there's no transaction volumes, technically speaking, you cannot see that movement in terms of transacted pricing. Now, when you go to Covert Melody, you will see that just by the year 2023, you already have close about 7 transactions. The year 2022, you have close to about maybe about 20 transactions just based on my estimation right here. And the action begins like this. If you already own a property in Covert Melody since 2011, or maybe right from the start, and now today you want to sell because you want to upgrade to a landed property, you'll be asking yourself, hey, my neighbor just sold at 1.75. Their level, maybe their low floor. My high floor neighbor just sold at 1.81. My property is also high floor and it's nicely renovated. Recently, I just changed the aircon. I just renovated the kitchen 2 years back. I'm sinking another $100,000. I think I want to sell higher. Maybe let's try 1.9 million. So that will be a mindset of an existing owner that is intending to put their property in the market, they will always reference back to the last transaction. This is normal human psychology that you and I will think about, because we don't want to sell our property in a fire sale fashion because we are not urgent to sell. The reason we want to sell is because we want to upsize. We have other plans. You're going overseas. You're downsizing or you're upgrading. And there's no reason that if you're doing okay, you are stable in your income and job and all that, your kids are happy there, you will just tell yourself, okay, if I want to sell, I must sell higher than the last done, or at least the same as the last transaction, depending on the current market condition. And I don't want to sell my place for less. So that will be the natural instinct of all natural home sellers who are not in an urgency to sell. Of course, we're not talking about any distress sales and all that. Of course, distress sales or people who are in a distress situation, they might have a certain level of urgency. They might want to price it a little bit more attractive. There's a whole lot of other stories. But as you can see, you just look at the overall context. There's also not much properties for sale in Covent Melody. There's only one 3-bedder at this point in time. And thus, when this owner that then put their property in the market for 1.9 million, and they start to conduct viewings, their realtors start to help them position their place and stuff like that. And then they instantaneously transact maybe in the next 3 months at $1.83 million, which is higher than this last done. This will then form a new PSF level for the project. And thus, the next owner that wants to put their property in the market to sell, the next Covent Melody owner, will then call their bank, ask for a desktop version, and the desktop version will then be influenced by the latest transaction over the last 6 to 12 months, and you will start to see the valuation creeping up gradually. And that's how a project valuation starts to creep up in a gradual fashion over the years. And that has been happening in Covent Melody for the past 11 to 12 years because there's a lot of volume of transactions on a year-to-year basis. Compared to Covent Esquire, this is a freehold project, and it has this pro of being a freehold project. And of course, I'm not trying to say that a small project is no good. Basically, every project has pros and cons. You stay in Covent Melody, 700 over units, you have to, of course, you have to book your function room, you have to queue up for facilities and stuff like that. There'll be more people over the weekends using the pool. It can be a little bit noisy at the poolside. And that's natural for big projects. And of course, that's in exchange for privacy if you live in a huge development. And you also have a 99-year lease that, of course, once it's reached maybe below 60, once it hits 50 plus, you'll start to worry because the lease is decaying. Freehold property, you don't have to worry about it. You can hold it forever. And you can pass it to your children, legacy. You don't have to worry about any lease decay issue. But of course, this is a small project. There might be no facilities or very little facilities or maybe just a small pool. And of course, that is also in exchange for your privacy as well. So there's always pros and cons. But today's discussion is just on the behavior in terms of valuation appreciation and price appreciation. And thus, when you look at Covent Esquire, you will then start to realize that it is because of the fact that there's very little volume of transactions on a year-to-year basis. And seemingly over the last 3 years, there has been no transactions that has thus then caused a disparity between Covent Esquire being freehold, boutique project versus 99 years Covent Melody. And of course, in the year 2023, Covent Melody right now, the tenor started from 2004, is already 19 years, right? So 19 years, there's now a balance of 80 years left. And of course, it's still a very good, healthy lease to go, because if you look at the Ballas curve, of course, the Ballas curve tells a few things. There's a couple of key points that you need to know. Basically, is when it turns 60 years old, it turns 30 years old, where the next buyer cannot take a loan anymore. And then by the time it turns zero, it has to return to state land, SLA, unless there's a on-block activity to sell to the developer, or maybe the total, or maybe everybody in the project, they apply the strata title board to renew the lease and buy another 99 years and things like that. So of course, that's for a whole other topic. You can refer back to NOTG, where I talked to the on-block veteran, Mr. Kramjit Singh, about his thought process about on-block projects. But for today's episode number 2, cracking down the code, let's just sum it up in this manner. So we talk about this part on the 99s and freehold behavior and the behaviors of this disparity effect. This will then bring us next to episode 3. So I'm going to put episode 3 here because this topic is very long. So sorry. So episode 3, we're going to talk about how to compare. In today's context, 2023, I'm going to come back to this and I'm going to help you to compare freehold and 99. How do you hunt for that disparity let's say if you're buying a 3-beta or maybe a 2-beta, but you think that, hey, the 99 PSF for the new project is very high, then should I look at some of the resale counterparts whose PSF is lower, but the quantum seems to be the same? What should be my top process be? We're going to talk about that in episode 3 of Cracking Down the Code. But for today's episode, I hope that I've added value to you to understand about behavior in this case study right here at Coven, just to look at these two very interesting projects, Coven Medic and Coven Esquire. And these two projects are fabulous. You have its own audience. It has its own buyers. And these two projects has nothing wrong with them. Basically, they are good developments. The only difference is, of course, one is high-rise, big project, 99 years. One is a small boutique project, freehold. But why is it that their price performance is very different? But of course, whether you own either one of it, because this is just for case study reason, because this scenario perpetuates in all parts of Singapore. Last but not least, for owners that are owning boutique projects like freehold projects, there's nothing wrong with continuing to own your freehold property, because your freehold property will hit a point that it will start to jump up in terms of pricing, be even though at years without transactions, because there will come a season that you will see an instant jump. Let me give you an example. Back to Coven Esquire. Somebody that is owning Coven Esquire now in the year 2023, when they put their property in the market, they might firstly call their banker. So let's say if you own a property at Coven Esquire, you'll call your banker and say, hey, I want to sell my property here, 1087 square feet. My last done is only 1.19. It doesn't make sense because mine is a 3-beta. Coven Medic, 99 years, balance 80 years, is already asking for 1.8, 1.9 million. What is my bank valuation? Now, your valuer will still tell you that your valuation is around this range, or maybe about 1.2 or 1.2 plus. Because desktop valuation from the banks always tend to take the highest determining factor percentage from the last 12 months of transaction. So a banker will still tell you, hey, Mr. Lim, unfortunately, because there's not much transactions, the max bank valuation I can push for you maybe is 1.25. Now, you as a homeowner, when you put your property in the market, maybe you tell yourself, hey, it doesn't make sense. I don't want to sell at 1.25. Okay, but I want to sell because I want to upgrade to a landed home. I want to exit. I want to clear my name. I'm going to try at 1.5 million. And thus, our observation of boutique freehold project is that sometimes there might be gap years without transactions, but the next owner might try instantly for a jump in terms of a higher price. And there might be some buyers that's shopping in the market for 3-beta at Coven. Looking at their choices, they will see Coven Medic at 1.8, 1.9. Coven Residences also is about 2 mil already. Coven Regency also about 2 mil. And they only have a budget of 1.5. And they come and look at your Coven Esquire. And when they want to make an offer, they call their banker. And the banker tells them, hey, max valuation is 1.25. If you want to buy at 1.5, you have to top up the difference of 250,000. And they might find that in terms of overall price quantum, it might still make sense for them at 1.5 million. And they might find another banker that can try to match up to maybe 1.3. And they might just talk about that 200K differences in terms of cash. And overall, it might still make sense to them because they only want freehold. They want small project. They want privacy. Their max budget is at 1.5 million, but they have more cash. And so they might be fine. And thus, if that happens, what's going to happen to Coven Esquire is that they will see a new transaction being launched here on May 2023. And it will suddenly be 1.5 mil at about 1,400 plus PSF. And usually sometimes in boutique projects, there's like a sudden jump. And this happens when the surrounding has all appreciated and moved on. And this time for the boutique projects to catch up. And thus with that, I will end today's episode. I hope that I added value to you. I'll see you on the next Cracking Down the Code episode to analyze projects together. And we hope to see you. So in the meantime, please support us by subscribing to this channel. Of course, we are also on Spotify. You can listen to us on the go. And that's why our YouTube channel is called Nuggets on the Go. And we hope to see you. So in the meantime, take care.